welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark, where the Sorting Hat has no idea where to put us.
I'm Ravenclaw.
I don't really care, anyway. As long as I don't get stuck in Hufflepuff. My name is Jay.
And I'm Leslie.
Leslie's a Hogwarts nerd.
I love Hogwarts. Oh, is this how you came up with it? Because I'm wearing my Hogwarts shirt?
Yes.
That's funny. That did not sound like a real laugh.
It's not.
What's yours? Yours is Darth Vader as...
The Ventruvian Man.
Yep.
That's how you say that, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I don't want to sound like an idiot here. You're like, too late!
No, so how's your week been?
It's been going all right. Almost time for Thanksgiving.
Yes, while we're recording this before Thanksgiving, I think it's going to come out the first week of December if I do my publishing episodes right.
This episode will come out after we've both gained 10 extra pounds.
Seriously, right? I gotta get my turkey pants.
Yes. Turkey pants.
It's funny because I remember talking to someone about that and they said, oh yeah, you know, that's from Friends. And I'm like, I do remember a whole Thanksgiving episode where Joey wears Phoebe's maternity pants, I think it is. But it's like,
I was wearing stretchy pants on Thanksgiving long before Friends made it cool.
Exactly. I totally remember wearing like comfy clothes or a dress or like one of those elastic skirts when I was really young.
Like my parents, when I was younger, whenever we went over to my grandparents' house, my parents were always like, oh, you have to dress nice when you go to your grandparents' house. They say like, you know, wear your nice, yeah. Tuck your shirt in, wear your jeans. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Wearing jeans on Thanksgiving? You know what's going to end up happening, right? The pants are going to get unbuckled anyways somewhere during the course of the meal.
Well, and it's funny because it always felt like once Thanksgiving was done, it's kind of like with Christmas and the presents, like once Thanksgiving dinner was done and everyone was, okay, well, let's all relax now. And then officially the Thanksgiving was over. But it's funny because depending on what time we had Thanksgiving, like sometimes, some years we had as early as 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
As late as, you know, 7 o'clock. No matter what hour of the day I had Thanksgiving, if we were at my grandmother's house, sooner or later she would offer you about an hour later a sandwich to eat. And it was hilarious because you're like, I am so full, but yeah, go ahead and make me a sandwich.
My family has something very similar to that because we usually tend to do Thanksgiving pretty early in the day, like 2 o'clock, I think.
Yeah,
is like
exactly,
we would start eating dinner. And yeah, we'd be like super stuffed and everything, you know, we'd be like, oh my god, I can't eat another bite. And then you say, okay, it's time for dessert. It's like, well,
well, I can't say no. I
can't say no to some, you know, peach cobbler.
Yeah, and usually after that like second meal is when I knew Thanksgiving was over. Like Thanksgiving was over after that second meal, not when it was dark, not when people were going home. Second meal.
You kick everybody out of the house around 5-6 o'clock or so you can like fall asleep finally.
I know. I'm glad this year we're not hosting, which I'm a little bit glad. And a lot of people are like, oh, is it because Chris cooks the Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not much of a cook and he's an excellent cook. And it's, I do the dishes. I all clean up the kitchen.
I remember trying to open up a can of pineapples.
Oh yeah, that was, I remember, yeah, for listeners, when I was first dating my husband, I decided I was going to do, like, a little dinner party. And so Chris came over, and Jay came over, and I don't think you were dating anyone at the time.
No.
And my roommate was out of town, and I think our other friend canceled on us. So it was just the three of us. And I said, well, you know what? This is my first time cooking for him. Why don't you go wait in the bedroom, Chris? And I want to make this big dinner. And I remember you stayed out with me and you were just going in to talk to me. And we're sitting there talking.
I stayed in the kitchen watching you fail.
Oh my God. Such a great fail because I could not open this can of pineapple slices to save my life. It got to the point where I was sitting there.
You were just banging on it.
I was just banging on. I was like the monkeys in the beginning of 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh my god, that's hilarious because that's exactly what I was about to say too. It's like, well, just reminiscent of 2001 Space Odyssey.
I know, and I just took this can and we had a steel sink in our in our apartment, and I was just banging this thing against the steel, hoping that, like, I don't know, that the can will pop open like it was Popeye spinach. And I just got to the point
like
where...
Like a can of Pillsbury...
Oh, like, yeah, the dough.
Croissants or something.
I was so annoyed, and I remember you couldn't even try because you were laughing, like, you were crying. It was the only time I saw you that you were doubled over, tears down your face. And then finally Chris comes out because he's like, what's happening? I said, just open this for me. And he, like, 2 seconds, he puts the thing on, click, 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 and it's open. And I'm like, how'd you do that?
It's like I used a freaking can opener.
After that, I just remember thinking, like, okay, well, I got to impress him with a meal. And then I remember, I think I just threw stuff together. By that time, I was just tired of it. And I'm...
Just never... The lesson here is never step outside your wheelhouse.
Oh, gosh. But then we, him and I, had a romantic dinner where I made spaghetti from a package and Alfredo sauce from a can or from a jar. And he sat there and he ate it, but he was just like, you know what? Let me cook for you. And the next week, he came over with his cast iron skillet, all these fresh vegetables, all these spices, and made me this Italian dinner that was just mwah.
And I can
personally... And I said, I never will cook again because...
And I can personally attest to that fact that his spaghetti is the bomb.
Oh, yeah. When you and Becca came over, that was the yes. meal you guys ate that he cooked for you guys mm-hmm. was the first meal he cooked for me.
It was like, what, turkey meat? Homemade turkey meatballs or something yeah. like that. It was just, oh my God, delicious.
Yeah, so Chris does Thanksgiving, and this year I'm really glad that we didn't do Thanksgiving, because while Thanksgiving is nice in the sense that it feels like as soon as people leave, people can leave as early as 5 o'clock, be like, yay, Thanksgiving is over.
It's time for Black Friday to start.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, okay, now I can get to my days off. But the whole thing, though, is with Chris and cooking... and like cleaning the house and stuff is we moved into this house. I don't have a dining room table. We only have 4 chairs at the table plus 2 office chairs, rolly office chairs, possibly the chair that you're sitting in if I wanted to drag it out there. So we don't have enough chairs for everyone. Our dishwasher is newer, so it takes like 3 hours to clean because it sanitizes stuff. So it's like I gotta do everything by hand, where my other dishwasher was really quick, and it was just like, oh, you know what, I don't want to deal with Thanksgiving this year, can you do, like, I just asked my mother-in-law, like, is there any way we can host at your house, and she was fine with it, but I'm kind of glad that I'm not worried about it this year. I probably will have to do probably have to host Christmas, but I'm really excited that I get to kind of just go to places and eat, and then can go home.
It's always great when you don't have to actually contribute.
Well, I mean,
you still...
My husband's going to cook. I'll probably do the dishes, but it's nice where I don't have to do, like, the 20 other things that, you know, the shopping and the cleaning in the house and trying to organize when everyone was going to come. Because that was that's what I hate about Thanksgiving. Everyone has a time. Like, the one time they say is, when are you eating? We don't know. Between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Okay, we'll show up at 3:15. It's like... I just hate organizing. Whereas Christmas is, we're going to eat breakfast because... Like, we have, my husband has a tradition in his family that they have German sausage for breakfast, and...
I thought that was for Christmas.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Well, I thought we were talking about Thanksgiving still.
Well, no, I'm just saying for Christmas, so basically, it's like, we're going to eat at 9 a.m., we're going to open presents at 11, we're going to cook dinner for the afternoon, and then we'll eat at 4, and then that's it. And it feels like with Christmas, it's like, if you don't come for the certain thing, we're not waiting for you.
No, if he wants to save me some of that German sausage, I would not say no to that.
You should, if we host it, you should just come over. Okay, so
now that we've ranted about the holidays.
I know. So this is us just relaxed for the holidays. And by the time you'll hear us actually pass the holidays, we'll be like, oh my gosh, I got so many stories. So I guess we'll do a couple more. We should get started.
Well, you're going first because...
Oh, that's right.
You got some heavier material.
Yes. So if I plan this correctly, this will come out on December 5th. I believe it's the Thursday. I usually upload Thursday night, so it'll be on all our platforms by Friday morning. And yes, so hopefully this will come out the 5th or 6th. December 7th, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, I'm going to talk about the story entitled Remember Pearl Harbor Mystery. Now, the mystery is actually really short. Instead of going straight into the urban legend, I thought I would just give a little bit of history of Pearl Harbor for those listeners who might not be aware of the history, and even my own personal story of Pearl Harbor, and then I'll tell you the mystery of it, or at least of the story. So the Pearl Harbor attack on December 7th, 1941, occurred at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. The U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese aircraft. The destruction that day was devastating. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed, 2,403 Americans were killed, and 1,178 others were wounded. Japan had minimal loss with 28 aircraft, a submarine, and a Japanese soldier captured. December 7th, Japan then announced a declaration of war. On December 8th, U.S. Congress, declared war on Japan. Even President Franklin D. Roosevelt proclaimed that December 7th, 1941 would be a date which will live in infamy. And these words were true. Today we have memorials, including one I visited very, very long time ago when I was really young, the USS Arizona. The battleship rests under 40 feet of water just off the coast of Ford Island. The memorial rests on top of the battleship, but not touching the sunken ship, where today, still, over 900 soldiers remain on board. I remember my grandparents taking me to Hawaii. I must have been 6, 7, 8 years old. I was really young. And I remember my great-grandmother went with my grandparents, and they invited me. And you ever kind of, the only regret, I mean, you have many regrets, but you know when you're younger and you do stupid stuff because you don't understand? It's like, I wish I could go back and just, be young enough where I was young, but, be smart enough where I know that something was going on where, hey, this is, a trip of a lifetime. I'm in Hawaii. I'm on this memorial. I remember being on a boat, and we went to the memorial, and I remember my grandpa and my grandma were looking at the names in the memorial, and they were walking around, and I just remember being bored, and I was like, oh, what is this? I want to go home. There's McDonald's over there. I want to go to McDonald's. I wasn't whiny, but I think I just was bored, and I sat, on this, edge, and I just remember staring at the water, and there was, this weird hole, and I was like, what is that? And I just remember thinking, what's that weird thing in the water, and it looked like a tin can, and you know, it's that's so weird. And years and years and years, years later, when you're looking at the pictures of the USS Arizona, I think it's the steam, it's a stack or something, but it's part of the Arizona that I must have been staring at. And today I'm like, wow, I was just sitting there staring at that, I'm bored. And I just want to smack myself and be like, have some reverence. But you know, when you're 6 and 7, you don't realize what it is that you're doing sometimes.
No.
So also another thing I wanted to note is in April of 2019, so April of this year, Richard Cole was the last of the survivors of the Doolittle Raiders, died at the age of 103. The Doolittle Raid, also known as the Tokyo Raid, served as a retaliation for the attack on Pearl Harbor in April of 1942. Okay, so now we go to the mystery. And the mystery is in Owensville, Indiana. This little town, with a population as of 2010 of 1,284, was established in 1817, but it wasn't incorporated until 1881. So what does this Owensville, little town of Owensville, Indiana, have to do with this mystery? Well, on December 7th, the Owensville school had a message done in chalk in big block letters, which had a message that read, "Remember Pearl Harbor." The message was washed away hours later when a storm rolled in. No pictures were taken, but people saw it. The townspeople who saw the message were intrigued by it. They would speak about it. This story would, for a couple weeks, days after, would be talked about. What does it mean? What does Remember Pearl Harbor mean? But then everything was soon forgotten because Christmas was upon them, had to plan for the holidays, and the new year they had a new year to look forward to, and who knows what 1940 would bring. Yes, the message left on December 7th, 1939 was not thought of again until 2 years later to the day. So what was this? A glitch in the system? Just an urban legend from the small town? Or was a time traveler gone back to warn about Pearl Harbor?
It's interesting. The reason why I say that is the fact that, like, if somebody did go back in time, which, you know, I mean, I love the idea of time travel, but it's like, why would you go back in time and say, remember Pearl Harbor, instead of get off this base because things are about to go down?
Well, it's funny because, like, Chris and I talked about the simulation theory, about how, like, everything's just a simulation, about glitches in the system, and just the interesting thought of that we're all just in a computer and someone else is a programmer is basically controlling everything. We have no direct control of what we do, and everything's set out, and these glitches are basically like little bugs in the system. And I'm just wondering if, I know there's a lot of theories, and I'm not saying one way or not, I'm not saying I believe in it or not, but it is funny to think that if that is a glitch in the system, that someone was supposed to put remember Pearl Harbor but did it on the wrong day because they were supposed to wait for 2 more years. That's an interesting thing.
You gave people a lot of time to forget about what you had put, not to mention the fact you put it in a message that was easily erased.
Well, and it's funny because I watched I got this story idea from Beyond Belief, and it was one of their stories, but they did it in the story as 2 days before the Pearl Harbor. So they changed the story, but it was actually 2 years, according to the legend. See, I kind of want to do time travel. I know a lot of people think, well, maybe it's a glitch or a simulation, or just like an urban legend, and people got their years mixed up. But I totally think it's time travel.
You never know.
But that's my story. So it's really, like I said, my actual mystery was very, very short.
Very short.
So I just wanted to give a little history of Pearl Harbor since its anniversary.
Good job.
Thank you. So now it's your turn. Let's lighten this up a little.
All right. Question.
Answer. Bear.
Bear. Yes. A little bit of office humor there.
I know. So, the office. Okay, go ahead. Question.
Answer me this, Leslie. Have you ever remembered something and thought, this is exactly how this happened, this is how my mind remembers it, and this can be the only way that this happened? But then somebody says, no, that's not how that happened at all. It happened this way.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I was able to open that can of pineapples. I'm just saying.
That's not how I remember it. Anyways, there is a phenomenon that is referred to as the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of this.
You've heard of this. So
it's an interesting effect.
It is an interesting effect. There's various different theories that explains what this is and what it means. Generally speaking, it refers to a situation in which a large mass of people believes an event occurred when it did not.
Yeah, you know, that's fascinating when you get groups of people swearing that they think something happened a certain way, and then another group saying no, and that group has the evidence like, no, this is what happened. And only this could happen. But people swear, like, nope, it happened here.
And there's instances where people believe, or where this phenomenon occurs to people for either large-scale things or just simple little things. So the term Mandela Effect was first coined in 2009 by Fiona Broom when she published a website that's detailing her observance of the phenomenon. So Broom clearly remembers, this is one of the major instances, clearly remembers the tragedy of former South African President Nelson Mandela's death in a South African prison in the 1980s. Obviously, Mandela did not die in prison in the 1980s and actually passed away a free man in 2013.
So, it's funny, I know the Mandela Effect. I mean, it's basically named after Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
In effect by this, I didn't know who actually coined the term. So, I remember watching that movie, I think it's like Inviticus. But anyways, it's
Leviticus.
Yeah, it's with Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon. But they use real footage. And there's this one part in it where it's basically showing lines of people and it's for voting. It's basically to vote to elect him. And when you watch the footage, it's just lines of people across like the countryside, and it's just far as I can see. And when I read about the Mandela Effect, or people tell me about the Mandela Effect, they said, yeah, I remember watching on TV, there was lines and lines of people that were lined up for his funeral. And I was like, I think you're just thinking about the election. Like, it's weird how, like, I can see both ways in the sense of you having that clear memory of something, but I almost think that you're associating that memory with a different event. Like, you know what I mean? It's like seeing an open sign and being on a store window, and there's two stores, and thinking that both stores are open. It's like, no, it's only one store that's open. Mm-hmm. You're just transporting that image from one store to another.
Exactly. So she talked to other people, and she started finding that she was not the only one who had that memory of his passing in the 1980s. So other people remembered his death clearly, as well as she did, not only, and as well as a speech by his widow.
See, that's what's interesting. So I can totally, when people say, oh, I remember lines and stuff, that's one thing.
But a speech.
And if I don't know if you mentioned it, I'm sorry, I was paying attention. This theory came way before 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was 2009.
Yeah, so it's not, now we're not into, oh, you just saw the speech and you're remembering it on a different time.
Yeah.
That is what I find most fascinating, is when I can't explain where it came from.
And there are other examples of this effect. Things that people remember clearly, even just simple things, but have never occurred. One example is that there is a lot of people who remember a famous painting of Henry VIII eating a turkey leg. This painting's never existed, except in, like, a cartoon or a caricature of some sort.
Exactly.
But people think this painting actually existed.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, again,
it's like a group delusion.
Yeah, you saw something with it and transposed it.
In Snow White, that whole scene where the
evil queen
says, people always assume that she says, mirror, mirror on the wall,
who's the fairest of them all?
But the actual line is, magic mirror on the wall.
Now that one is interesting, because I will tell you right now, I would have, if you had told me, Leslie, is it magic mirror or is it mirror, mirror? And I'm like, oh, it's mirror, mirror. Because I could so think of,
and
like...
And that's exactly me. Like, I thought it was mirror, mirror too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, no, I know I'm sat in my living room watching that cartoon on Disney, on VHS, because it was like one of the first VHS tapes that my parents bought. You know, because I'm an 80s kid, 80s baby. So we didn't have a VHS... I think we had to rent VHS from, like, you know, Blockbuster and stuff until my parents got one when they were a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. But I remember so clearly watching it and hearing, you know, the queen standing there saying, mirror, mirror. Like, I don't even, like, if he said it was magic, mirror, I'm like, yeah, of course it's a magic, but he's asking mirror, mirror.
Question.
Yeah.
How do you remember Looney Tunes being spelled?
Okay, truthfully, I know we actually talked about this
one.
We
did, yes.
So I know you said you remembered it as T-U-N-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because in my head, I know that's what it was, because I remember being younger and I asked my mom what tunes mean, like why I had spelt, like when I was learning how to write, I would do my R's and put a little X through the R. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, why are you doing your R's like that? I'm like, because I saw it on the sign. And my mom was like, that's a pharmacy sign. It's a different R. Like, she had to explain, like, the differences. So if I saw a word and it was different. So I don't know why, but I remember seeing tunes somewhere. T-O-O-N-S.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing T-U-N-E-S somewhere and asking, why is there different? I think, like, I was thinking of... Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Because it was called Toonland, remember? Yeah. And I was kind of like,
but they said, like Toon, like cartoon, and that's why a lot of people say Looney Tunes, but it's actually Toons, like a... But I think that came from... Do you remember, like, the really old, old Looney Warner Brothers cartoons? They were called Merry Melodies.
Yes, yes.
So like they went from Merry Melodies to Looney Tunes.
Yeah, so, like, I think I feel like, even though right now, I probably, like, 10 years ago, I probably would have said it was T-O-O-N-S.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I just justified it enough where I was like, no, it has to be T-U-N-E-S. Even though I feel like I remember it being T-O-O-N, I know it's T-U-N-E-S, which is weird because it is a weird feeling because I'm fighting with myself with memory.
Exactly. So then another one, there's a collective memory of a movie that people swear up and down. There was a movie that existed in the 1990s called Shazam that was starring comedian Sinbad.
Okay, now that one I know.
No, we already know that this is actually not accurate. That movie never existed. There is the new DC movie, Shazam, that came out like last year or this year, one of those two. But the one in the 90s never existed, but there was a movie starring Shaquille O'Neal that was called Kazam.
Which I think, because I have that picture in my head, like of him with his arms crossed, mm-hmm. with his smile.
Yeah. I mean, I already knew, like, that, like, because I was looking, I was like, I already knew Kazam, because I always up like, wow, that was a bad movie, but no.
Well, and I know what's funny is I was, like, for a while, I really liked Sinbad. Like, I remember being, like, 10, 11 years old, always wanting to watch Son of a Preacher Man, his comedy special. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it because he would do that, oh my gosh, there was, still to this day, I remember his McDonald's, where it says, if you were a guy and you're going to McDonald's and a girl is like on the fry.
Oh yeah,
like
that, yeah, you can pick like, up a girl and yeah, guys could, don't care like what yeah, the girl's
like,
doing.
Yeah, like, hey, cutie, like, you want to, what are you doing later? Oh, you know, like, you know,
but if you
flirty.
Were, but if
like,
it was
the other way around.
If the guy on the fryer was, like, flirting with the consumer, like, customer, they'd be like,
But I don't know why, but just how he did the I just remember how he did the hand movements where I was like, I talk with my hands and how his hand movements is exactly how I talked. And I was always like, I like this guy. And I was obsessed with Sinbad. Like, I watched I remember being in school and we were going to watch The Adventures of Sinbad. I thought it was of the comedian.
I thought of that too, for some reason.
And I was all like, who's this guy? This is 1950s. Like, what is going on? Why is there a boat? Like, oh, like, where's Sinbad?
Like, who's the dude wearing the little hat on his head there?
Yeah, so one I knew. I was like, no, that's not Sinbad, because I knew his shows.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an example right there. So, according to this theory...
Wait, I'm sorry. You haven't mentioned one that we have to talk about, because my husband... So, the reason I know about this Mandela effect is because my husband came to me, like, we were supposed to have lunch one day, and he's like, I have to go home to my... I have to go to my mom's house. And so, he went to the library. We were downtown. He went to the library. And he was sitting there on his phone. Like, he's like, I gotta call my mom. I thought something happened to his mom. And we got off work. So he basically stood me up for lunch. And he's like, I gotta go to my mom's house tonight. And I'm like, oh no, what's wrong? Is everything okay? He's like, yeah, I'm just really freaking out. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, okay, I gotta ask you. I want you to be serious. Is it Bernstein Bears or Bernstein Bearstein Bears? And
it's
I was like,
Bernstein Bears.
Yeah, and I was like, Bernstein. And he's like, yeah, see, I knew it. Literally, we went to his mom's house to ask, and maybe I'm exaggerating, this probably could be a couple days later, but I do remember being at his mom's house asking her, where's Chris's baby boxes, basically, because now we have to try to find out his books. And he found his books, and they said Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
And he's all like...
Made by Jan and Stan Berenstain.
Exactly.
Who, their name was always clearly on there, but everybody... Even me for a while, for like quite a bit of my life, thought Berenstein Bears, like, you know, like, or Berenstein, E-I-N, like, you know, Einstein, or that kind of E-I-N. Yeah. And that's like, a lot of people just didn't realize that, like, that it was with the A-I-N at the end.
You know,
and I think I used to have like the kids' books on tape when I was younger too. Yeah. So you even had like an author or a narrator say like the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, and so I was telling Chris, I said, I could have sworn my book said it. So when we got my book, nope, it's not. And I told him, I said, you know, it just must have been one of those things where you think it's spelled a different way. It's like his name, I won't say our names, but his name is very complicated because he's Filipino. for people that, like, they'll say, they'll look at it and they'll be like, oh, how do you say your name? And it's only in Italy where people are like, oh, this is how you say your name. I think we were just in a culture of, oh, this is how you say it because I'm 10 years old or 5 years old trying to read for the first time, and saying Berenstein for some reason is easier than Bear. Like, it's a weird one too. It's like a Berenstain. Berenstain? How do you say it?
Berenstain.
See, Berenstain.
I was like, as if you started reading at 10, huh?
I was a slow learner. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
So,
but you know what I mean? Like, when did you really start realizing what authors you liked?
Well, that's true. I mean, it took that part takes a while. So there are other ones. There's like little things. I'll just go over them really quickly.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll try not to interrupt, but I will admit it is funny with these ones.
It is. So first, I mean, we already covered the Berenstain Bears. That's one of the ones I had on here too. The second one, another one is the Ford logo. A lot of people may think the Ford logo is just a regular, like an F, but if you told somebody, it's like, no, the F has a little flourish on a little dash in the middle of the F, people would be like, no, there isn't.
It's funny. So you had, again, we kind of talk about what we're going to do before our podcast, and you asked me that one, and I said, it's just straight. There's no flourish. So I was wrong on that one.
Mm-hmm. And the flourish has been there since 1912, if anybody, you know, wants to look that up.
Like, it's weird that, like, I'll think one thing, and then as soon as you say, no, it's this way, I'm like, I get this, like, a memory, like a recovered memory,
mm-hmm. of, it's like your eyes. Your eyes have been seeing it for the longest time, but when you try to recollect that memory, there's a term for it here, and it's termed confabulation, where like different memories mix together to create something a person believes to be true. Same thing. People used to think, oh, you know, when their mom made them a peanut butter jelly sandwich, what do they always think? They thought they were made using Jiffy peanut butter. There's never been a Jiffy peanut butter. There's been a Jif peanut butter and a Skippy peanut butter, but they're probably mixing the two into one thing.
Or maybe there's someone, oh, I'm going to make you a peanut butter sandwich in a Jiffy. Like, I feel like that is a conversation I've had before.
So there's... that's that effect. I mean, there's basically it's called like false memory, like in that same thing as in confabulation. But there are others who think that according to this Mandela effect theory, that such memories or changes in memory can be accounted for by something like a brief jump through time. In the case of the seeing the funeral of Nelson Mandela, is the way that the woman described it. This Fiona Broom says, possibly like you are sitting there watching, and then all of a sudden, you're like, you're seeing in through time or something. Then all of a sudden, just jumping back to the present, and you think, oh, I saw this funeral or whatever for Nelson Mandela, and you just think, oh, that's sad, but.
So I love that theory, because you know me, I'm all about time travel. I totally want to be a Doctor Who's a companion. But the thing is, that doesn't explain what the whole Jiffy and Jif. Like, because it's not like, oh, in 1912 they were known as Jif, and then in 1928 they changed their name to Jiffy.
No, but there's a thing, though. There's various things. Another theory is there's possibly a quantum ripple that creates alternate realities.
Ooh, I love alternate realities.
It could, and it's just like
theories.
Just little tiny things. Like some say that some of us have moved between those realities, remembering things that have been written out of our current timeline. Claimed changes to small details, just like a spelling of a well-remembered brand name or subtle alterings of familiar logos, has convinced a lot of believers that history has been tampered with within our lifetime.
I so love that theory. Like, if it is true, that's what I want to know, is that's the way I want it to be, I should say, is because I think it's fascinating where maybe we'll get to a certain point in our time where time travel is possible, and it's one of those things where, okay, here's the rules. You can go back in time, okay, where are you, like almost like a Disneyland thing, like where do you want to go? Okay, you want to go back to the 20th century, 1992 or something, like, you know what I mean?
And if you ever travel back through time, don't touch anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you just have this like guy with a clipboard, like, okay, let me give you the spiel. Don't touch anything. Don't tell anyone you're a time traveler. Don't talk about the musk. Elon Musk. Don't talk about the Musk institution. All this stuff. And then you go back in time.
Probably the smartest thing to do would just be make it to where you're invisible.
In the
other time, you can witness everything, but they can't see you.
Like Al and Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have a little thing. And then you have those troublemakers who go back. And
step on a butterfly.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Oh, it's December 7th. Remember Pearl Harbor. Two years, you're a little early. That's why you have to slip the time travel person sending you back a 20. So that made sure that you get back to the exact time you want to.
That's all it takes to alter history, right?
$20. Yeah, $20.
There you go, buddy.
But no, I think there are people who love, Doctor Who is popular. There's
Back to the Future,
Quantum Leap. There's these shows that just shows you what if? Because I think everyone, there's a fantasy of, if I could go back in time, what would I do?
But there's different schools of theory on that, too. I mean, you have the Back to the Future school of theory, where it's like, you can drastically alter the timeline by just doing one simple little thing. And then you have Doctor Who, where it's like, there are points in time where you can't change no matter what. You could kick and scream and fuss and do all kinds of stuff, but it's going to happen whether you want it to or not.
Well, like we were talking about earlier, the simulation theory. I guess we should get off pop culture and actually talk about scientists like Einstein and Phil, and that there was an alternate. I can't remember if he felt like there was an alternate reality or that reality didn't exist. That what all we have is here and now. It's kind of like what he said was all that there is bit, I think he said. But there's a lot of physicists and philosophers who have these theories, who have very complicated hypotheses that we could totally look up and talk about. But this type of show is more about pop culture, so I want to talk about Quantum Leap. That if I have to go back in time, what happens if you can only go back in your timeline? So I can't go back to the 1940s. I can only go back to the 80s.
Wow, that would suck.
Think about it.
It'd be kind of cool to, go back and experience things from your childhood, but as an adult, so you can truly appreciate it.
Well, but, I feel like I would want to go back further, but...
See, me, I'd be more into the line of, not that I really liked the show all that much, because it could have been done better, but,
I thought it was pretty smart. I remember
not that one. I'm talking about, the one where they went to different universes.
Which show? Do you remember who starred in it?
I don't remember exactly. It had the doctor with the beard, the chubby guy, and...
What was it about? It was about...
They had a machine that they transported to different universes or different multi-Earth things or whatever. There was an episode where they went to San Francisco and there's oh my god, that's such a low population because they had the lotto that basically killed people.
You're talking about Sliders.
Thank you. Jeez. Was it that hard?
Yes, because when I said a guy and then a chubby guy.
The guy was a chubby guy.
You know what? You should have said the guy from Indiana Jones. You shut up.
Anyway, we're talking about Sliders.
Jerry O'Connell?
Jerry O'Connell. I couldn't remember his friggin' name. Anyways, so I'm...
I don't want to laugh over you, but...
So anyways, I'm big on the multiverse theory, personally. I like that idea of, you're not only time traveling, but you're traveling to different versions of Earth
that
could have been.
That would be so interesting to go to an alternative reality, like Star Trek and bad Star Trek. I forgot what they call it. The Bizarro Star Trek. You know, when they go back and this Enterprise crosses each other in this timeline in this perfect moment, and the away team comes back and it's bad Kirk goes to the Enterprise that we know it, and Spock kind of realizes that something's wrong and locks them up. Mm-hmm. And then good Kirk goes to meets bad Spock and stuff, but he's not that bad. He just has a goatee. Basically, everyone in the bad universe has goatees, which is really funny because I think because it's that no no
facial hair thing.
Yeah, for November. So a lot of the security at my work where they're doing a lot of goatees, but a lot of them are like really dark goatees, and I'm all like, maybe because I'm used to yours with a little bit of gray and Chris's with a little bit of gray, so when I see just all black goatee, I just think of like, you know,
they're evil.
Evil, yeah, the evil
twirling stuff. Mustache is like.
But yeah, I tend to like to think about alternative universes, and I actually like to read about alternative universes because it'd be really, I think that's why The Man in High Castle is so popular.
Oh, I need to like sit down and watch that show more. I watched a few episodes of it. I loved it. It was like, dude, that's awesome.
I think their final season is going. But
so okay. Anyway, that's the Mandela effect. So
I enjoy that.
Possible alternate reality / time travel, or just, you know, the human mind just playing tricks on itself.
Yeah, so for those out there, I know we jumped on each one, but what do you guys remember? Do you remember if it was Bernstein Bears or
Stain Bears.
Stain Bears. Do you remember the Ford logo being
Flourish
or just a straight F, O-R-D? Do you remember Jif peanut butter? Or do you remember Jiffy peanut butter? Do you remember Looney Tunes, T-O-O-N-S? Or Looney Tunes, T-U-N-E-S? Yes. There was another one, too, that had movie ones, but the movie ones are so easy. Kind of like the Magic Mirror. Yeah.
There was a Star Wars one. Oh. Where they say, like, you know, like, where Darth Vader's, people think he says, Luke, I am your father. And like the exact line, apparently, is, no, I am your father. Personally, I'm going to have to, like, actually go back and watch Star Wars again, because I could be like, oh, maybe I might be wrong about that, so I don't want to say anything.
Well, if you need them, Chris has the VHS copies.
I'm going to drop my Star Wars nerd card.
Yeah, so I think that is an interesting effect, and let us know what you guys think.
Does reality even exist?
Or is this just all a simulation? Are we all on a computer?
Thoughts.
Okay, so I guess we better take this home.
Now it's time to go over our legendary listener of the week.
Yes, our legendary listener shout out is to Wichita, Kansas. We've been getting a lot of downloads from them these last couple weeks, and we just want to say thank you so much for listening, and I hope you guys reach out to us, because we love listening to our fans, and we love hearing the stories, seeing the pictures. I just hope that you guys can contact us at podcastlegends@gmail.com, our Instagram, our Facebook. We do try to mention you guys on the podcast, so if you want to say something on the podcast, you want to give us if you want your own shout out, let us know. If you want to shout out to your significant other because you guys had a fight, you guys just want to say sorry in the only way that Legends of the Dark way, as in, I'm sorry.
You got a creepy laugh coming for you.
I've had a lot of coffee.
You did. This has been another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark. We are Jay.
And Leslie.
Or are we? Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.